This is radio station WBAI New York. It's 10:01, 1 minute late for Off the Hook. Very good evening to one and all. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook, where we talk about high technology, new developments, and all the exciting things that affect us as individuals, whether it be our telephones, our credit ratings, computers that keep their eyes on us, and how we might keep eyes on other things out there. It's also a call-in show. We accept your phone calls at 212-279-3400, but we'll be taking them a little bit later, and if you call now, or number 5 ESS will simply time out and disconnect you. It's one of the new features of technology. It's called accounting for every minute. Well, we've had some rather interesting news developments in the past couple of days. Probably the most interesting of them being AT&T announcing that they're going to buy McCaw Cellular Communications, the nation's largest cellular business, for a mere $12.6 billion. It's more than the gross national product of some countries, but they're making this purchase. And the concern here is that AT&T will now become part of local phone service again. In other words, you pick up your cellular phone and the dial tone you get will be AT&T, not New York Telephone or New Jersey Bell. That's the concern of New Jersey Bell and New York Telephone, among other companies and other people as well. And it's prompting some speculation that the local companies, like New York Telephone, like New Jersey Bell, like C&P Telephone, all the telephone companies that provide dial tones across the country, maybe they'll get involved with long distance, you know, kind of a tit-for-tat type of a thing. I mean, they're already involved in cellular phones. They're already involved in printing directories and things like that. Well, now, who knows? Who knows where this is going to head? It's going to be an interesting next couple of months as this is debated in court throughout the country. Basically, the divestiture back in 1984 forbade the local companies from becoming involved in long distance, and also forbid the long-distance company, mainly AT&T, from getting involved in local phone service. Now there's kind of a way around this. By getting involved with cellular, they're not really wiring up your local phone, but since a lot of people are using cellular phones as local phones, well, who knows? It's going to change the way things are. So if you have a cellular phone, let us know how this may affect you, if you think it matters at all. Should AT&T be involved in local calls? Should local companies be involved in long distance? Should they be involved in cable TV? Should cable TV companies be involved in local phone service? Should cable TV companies be involved in long distance? Where does it stop? And is there room for new companies, for new ideas, new things? Speaking of new things, okay, we called a new thing last week. Yes, we called it up on this radio show, and we played around with it. I'll refresh people's memory in case you weren't around. Either you can hear what this thing is.
Welcome to Stony Brook's telephone registration system. Registrations, ads, and drops. Section.
All right, we called this last week. It's basically a telephone registration system. You use touch tones to register or deregister people, add courses, drop courses. All you need is a social security number and a date of birth. It's the most incredibly insecure system I've seen, and also very typical. Now, what we didn't do last week, what we're going to do this week, is play with the voice activation aspect of this. In other words, if you don't have a touch tone phone, you can use your voice. Let's try this out.
You are calling from a rotary phone. you may use the voice recognition feature of this system. The system will recognize the numerals 0 through 9 and the words yes and no.
This silence means that we don't have a touch-tone phone.
We are accepting registrations and changes for the fall semester. The automatic speech recognition system is currently unavailable for use. Please call back at a later time.
Well, isn't that just typical? You know, this thing worked before. Unavailable for use. Okay, they must have known we were coming. We will get these people at some point and demonstrate this system. I don't know why it's not working now. It was working before. It's a lot of fun. You get to say 1, 2, 3, and it recognizes what you're saying and knows the words yes and no. Okay, to make up for that, we have something even better. This is one of those you will things, you know, that AT&T is coming up with. You know, one day we'll make your life so incredible that you'll think you're dead and in heaven. Yes, you will. You will. It's an AT&T promise. They get to advertise things that don't exist and take credit for them on top of that. All right, this is a demonstration line that AT&T has just opened up of, well, it's kind of a promise of the future, how nice things will be. Listen for yourself. That static will be gone, too. They promise.
Thanks for calling to hear a demonstration of AT&T True Voice. The innovative new sound breakthrough from AT&T. As you're about to hear, True Voice will make virtually all your AT&T long-distance calls sound closer, clearer, more true to life, no matter where you call, coast to coast. True Voice will give you the best-sounding long distance, and it's free to AT&T customers because it's all part of the iPlan, our continuing commitment to bring you closer to the ones you care about.
The iPlan.
We think you'll agree. Soon, people who have AT&T will be closer than people who don't.
To tell us where you're calling from, please enter your area code and home telephone number now.
This static is ridiculous.
Calling from a rotary telephone, please hold.
Okay, we're going to enter a number.
Thank you. You entered 907-555-1212.
Directory assistance in it.
Correct.
Alaska.
That's one now. If this is incorrect...
Sure, this is correct.
Now it is time to experience AT&T True Voice, a new network technology that enhances the sound quality of AT&T long-distance calls.
Oh, this needs enhancement really badly.
Hear a brief comparison between the sound quality you hear today and the superior sound quality of AT&T True Voice. To listen to the sound quality of today's long-distance service, press 1. At any time, to listen to AT&T True Voice, press 2. You can alternate between pressing 1 and 2 as often as you like.
Oh, joy. Okay, we're going to, I don't know what the beep means, but we're going to hit 2. Let's hit 1 first.
At AT&T, we've been bringing people closer for years. But now, we've invented...
This is the way it sounds now.
The distance between you and your family and friends seem even smaller.
Now we're going to jump ahead into the future, light years into the future, and see what it will sound like by hitting 2. Listen carefully.
New network technology that provides AT&T customers the best long-distance sound quality. When True Voice is activated in your area, virtually every AT&T...
We're going to go back now to the way it is now.
...will sound closer, clearer, more natural than ever before. True Voice enhances the sound quality of your call so that... Your loved one's voices will sound richer, fuller, more true to life. And True Voice doesn't cost more. It's simply part of the AT&T long-distance network. True Voice, only from AT&T, bringing you closer than ever before.
Can you tell which one is on now?
Now that you've heard the demonstration, we would like to know what you think. You will have 1 minute to record your message. When you are finished... Please press the pound sign and stay on the line for additional announcements.
It was nice. It was very nice. I think it's good that AT&T offers these services to its customers totally free of charge, and hopefully they'll bring down their rates even further and offer long-distance calling all over the world for one low price. That'd be my dream to see that happen in the future. And I know you will one day.
With AT&T True Voice, there's never been a better time to be an AT&T customer. As part of the iPlan from AT&T, we're committed to providing you the most innovative product.
Okay, enough of them. Yeah, that's AT&T's new service there. I don't get it, to be honest. It doesn't sound that much different to me. It sounded like they were talking a little louder, maybe. And that's their idea of the enhancement. The iPlan is to just simply crank it up a bit and say it sounds better. I don't know. Anybody else out there get enhancement out of that? I was expecting, you know, FM sound quality or something. But I guess that was too much to expect. Free to AT&T customers. Yeah. All right. How familiar does this sound? You're on the phone with an important client or a new business prospect and just getting to the heart of what makes your product or service the best choice. Boy, whoever wrote this press release, well, they must have sent out for this. Okay, just getting to the heart of what makes your product or service the best choice when, poof, your train of thought was totally destroyed by someone banging on your door or walking in with their mouth in high gear asking a question. This assault on productive phone time is further heightened by the ever-increasing use of telephone headsets, which causes one of two things. One, people either walk up and immediately begin to speak, or two, stand there trying to figure out if you are indeed on the phone. This is the worst grammatic... homicide is against most offices' policy, but can look very tempting at these moments. Yes, addressing this problem is SignWorks. SignWorks, a company based in Quincy, Florida, and founded on the premise of easing some of this discord with your fellow workers. The company manufactures a sign that lights up when your telephone is in use, with the bold red words, "On the phone." The sign is reminiscent of the old on-the-air sign of radio and TV. The signs mount on your desktop or outside your office door and give fair warning. Plural word. The signs give fair warning, not gives. Oh, boy. Gives fair warning to those would-be interrupters. Conference in progress and do not disturb signs are also offered and operate by closing the office door. This remarkable technological breakthrough is available in two models. One is designed for conventional telephones and headsets, which require the handset to be removed from the cradle of the telephone for conversation. Model 2 is designed for headset users, which require only a button or switch to be pushed to use the headset. This is common in many larger offices with integrated phone systems. Both models can be mounted up to 10 feet away from the telephone and will work with any phone or phone system, regardless of brand, except cordless phones. Both models can be ordered by calling 1-800-I-AM-BUSY. And price $19.95 and $29.95, plus $4 shipping, respectively. SignWorks owner Michael Sammons commented, "Our product fills a need that is currently not being met with phone systems in use today. The switchboard operator is almost always aware of who is or is not on the phone at a specific time, but blown sales and interruptions come from the coworker in the next office." He continued, "I originally designed this for formal offices because of my background in telephone sales, but these products also have a large application in the home, especially for people who have home-based businesses. I hope that these products will help maintain professionalism and end aggravation wherever they are used." I wonder if he said that on the phone. Yeah, on the phone. That's SignWorks. Only $29.95 and you get a sign that lights up saying you're on the phone. That's really something. And speaking of really something, folks from Software Publishers Association have a warning for you. You may be breaking the law and not even know it. That's not grammatically right again either, is it? Well, anyway, companies without stringent anti-piracy programs in place risk a costly raid by the software police. But not only that, Not only that, if you make a copy, you know, any kind of a copy on your photocopy machine, you might also be breaking the law. You might be violating copyright laws by copying an article from a newspaper, for instance. But mostly they deal with software. And they ask these questions for companies that want to avoid the cost, embarrassment, and lost time that happen whenever there's a raid to see if illegal copies of software are being used. Here are the questions. Does your organization have a published policy statement educating employees about software copyright infringement? Does it prohibit them from making or accepting unlicensed copies of PC software? Is there a set of original user manuals at each PC workstation where a software product is installed? Is there a set of original manuals for each set of executable floppy disks? Is the purchase, installation, and license registration of all PC software controlled at a central point in your company? If you answered yes to all three questions, your PC software installations are probably legal. If you answered no to even one, you may be violating federal copyright laws. And they have a whole list of things that that you should do in the case like that, as far as registering software, installing software. Delete invalid installations from your PC's hard disks and destroy illegitimate copies on floppies. Make sure that employees are aware of the deletions. Some may have purchased and rightfully installed software in their PCs for their own use. When installing the legal copies, try to centralize the installation function in order to keep it under control. Register all software. Send in the registrations for every copy installed so vendors can provide better troubleshooting and hotline support and alert you to critical software problems and upgrades, and also keep track of you to make sure that you don't have too many copies. And other things like that. Yeah. Copy software illegally, and you could get this hardware absolutely free. It's a picture of handcuffs. Software piracy isn't just a crime. It's a shame. That's right, it's a shame, because most people who do it aren't even aware that it's illegal. Maybe because, as we say, a leap of logic. Logically, it makes sense that copying something shouldn't be illegal. If you copy software as protected by copyright, you could lose your job, face a civil suit, pay a $250,000 fine, and possibly be imprisoned. So get the facts now, at least the facts according to SPA. For more information about the legal use of software, contact the SPA Piracy Hotline at 1-800-388-7478. Because in the court of law, ignorance is one thing you won't be able to plead. Boy, these people are so pretentious. Ah, that's where they're coming from. If anybody ever has any dealings with these people, I'd like to know about it. Scary. Scary business indeed. All right, we're going to take some phone calls now. 212-279-3400. The program is off the hook, and we talk about virtually anything under the sun, whether it be telephones, computers, software piracy, hackers, you name it. Because it's a big, exciting world out there, and we're all involved in it. We're all learning more every single day. And it's up to us to take an interest. Okay, let's go to our first phone call. Remember, say who you are. That is your first name. We don't really care who you really are, but your first name and the town or city you're calling from, or country, if you're calling from a foreign country by any chance. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Richard from Queens.
Why are you always the first caller?
I guess I just have luck.
I think you have a power dialer of some sort.
Yeah, actually I have a demon dialer.
Yeah, you sure do.
anyway, I had a different question about that software thing. How will anyone know if let's say you... support software.
No, don't say me. Please don't say me.
Right,
because
not, right.
I live in perpetual fear of these people, and I don't want them coming on my door because it was announced over a radio station that, maybe I'm suspect. I'm
right.
not, and I'll turn anyone in that says I am.
Let's say my father. Let's say he's a friend of mine.
It's healthy to turn in your parents. It is healthy to do that, and I think you get a discount on something.
Say someone bought software legally, loaded it onto his hard disk on PC, right? That's legal, right?
Well, theoretically, yes. I guess somebody could have bought it legally, sure.
And then they loaded it onto their hard disk. That's all right.
Yeah, I guess it's all right if they did it righteously.
What if I wanted a copy of that and he happened to put it onto my hard disk by modem or... Not even by modem, by... transferring.
You got $250,000 lying around the house?
No.
Oh, well, then, you know... Could have some problems there. Have to mortgage off the old house or, I don't know. There's all kinds of things you might have to do.
Right?
Sorry?
They don't know that we're doing this.
Well, they do now. You just sort of told everybody, didn't you?
Oh, I'm saying, if you do it in private, nobody...
If you think about it, that's almost as bad as doing it. We all know that.
But I'm saying, if it's your own use, for your own home use, that's okay, right? It's, I mean, it's pirating, but it's for your own home use. So you, so long as you don't, like, sell it and stuff, right?
How do you want me to answer, as me or as them? If you want me to answer as them, nothing is okay.
Okay.
You should, if you make copies and give it to, you know, your brother or sister or whatever, they have to pay for it all over again. It's like, you know, giving a book to somebody. If you give a book to somebody to read, of course, they have to send the full price of the book into the publisher. I mean, we've all grown up with that logic. If you make a copy of a record and give it to somebody to listen to, of course, they have to send the full price of the record into the record company. I mean, this is all natural, logical, it makes perfect sense.
Right. So this is the same thing. So, all right, getting off that subject.
Yes, please do, because it's so obvious.
Okay, I had a question. How come when I played with third number calls, like, if I called from one part of Queens, when I try to call a third number, and it was blocked, it doesn't accept that number. I call from either another part of Queens or Manhattan, it accepts the third number. It's the same number. Why is that sometimes?
Okay, now... is this a payphone by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay, you're calling from a payphone.
Right.
And you're billing to a third number.
Right, and it goes through.
Okay, from a payphone.
No. I mean, it goes through without blocking. But if I were to call from another payphone, let's say in Queens, it says that the customer's request calls may not be charged to this number.
Well, if the customer's request that calls not be charged to that number, it shouldn't go through any time.
Well,
any phone.
It did in Manhattan. I was wondering, why is that?
I don't know. That's poor programming on somebody's part. Was the phone that it worked from, was it a regular New York telephone phone?
Again, a New York telephone payphone.
Well, that just tells you the amount of ineptitude that goes on in New York telephone. I mean, I've experienced this, too, where I've asked for certain lines to have collect only, or actually to not have collect calls accepted, and they get it totally wrong. They put caller ID on a line that you don't want caller ID on.
They're just getting so many requests that they just get mixed up.
Yeah, they can't handle pushing all those buttons and giving people what they ask for and what they're paying for. I know it's a hard job, but maybe they should try something else.
Let's see what else.
We have to go to another call.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on.
Yes, good evening. I was looking at an article in today's Daily News you might find interesting. It says 9X won't block AT&T deal.
They're in favor of it, then?
Yeah, it would appear so. It says here, 9X Corporation said yesterday that it will not oppose the $12.6 billion mega merger of AT&T and Macaw Cellular Communications Incorporated.
Oh, what do you know about that?
It says there's only one catch.
Oh, what's that? Don't tell me. 9X has to be allowed to get involved in long distance, right?
All right, it says here the Federal Communications Commission has to change the rules first.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy, Tom Talk, I won't read you the whole article because it's a little long. It says that Tom Talk, the Vice President of Government Affairs, all right, let's see, going through here, it says the Baby Bells said they don't care that AT&T wants to spend all that money, and they don't even mind that AT&T would become a competitor. What they do...
Hello? You there?
Yeah.
You got call waiting coming in, huh?
No, I'm on a payphone.
Has ended. Please signal when through.
Ah, your time has ended, huh?
Oh, they love me, I'll tell you.
Okay.
What? You get from calling from Jersey.
Yeah. Okay, well, you want to finish?
Yeah, just about here. Okay, it says here that... And all the FCC now regulates the seven baby bells, 300 long-distance companies, 1,000 cellular phone companies, and 1,000 so-called local exchange carriers such as Teleport in Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
Now, the question that I have is, if all these companies are going to merge and everything, how come AT&T charges $2.30 to call you while New Jersey Bell only charges you a buck?
Yeah, it's something that I've brought up many times. I don't know how to get away with charging such huge amounts for a payphone. It's the same amount. If you call Hawaii from there, it costs the same.
Yeah.
It's just the way the rates are regulated, and it hurts people that can least afford it.
Yeah.
Because if you're at a payphone and you're forced to use coins, that means you either don't have a home phone or you don't have a calling card or something else, which the privileged elite always have.
Yeah, the rates keep going up. You're going to have to carry around one of those 5-gallon water jugs that, max.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, here's an interesting thing in that article. It says here that guy Talk, he says that if the rules were changed, NYNEX would immediately get into the cable TV and long-distance business.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening. I mean, we've broken up the phone company back in 1984, and we've created 8 of them, and they're all just as big and powerful as the original one we broke up.
Mm-hmm. And it also says here that NYNEX's New York telephone, by comparison, is allowed only to make a 12% return. It says here because long-distance carriers charge an average of 18.5 cents a minute for a service that costs them just 7.5 cents a minute.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, all the phone companies are making money hand over fist. Whether they're allowed only a certain revenue, it's just a question of writing the numbers imaginatively, because there is no way the phone companies can lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all a captive audience, and we're forced to pay outrageous rates for certain things, like a $16 connection charge for something that involves saying yes at a terminal.
Yeah.
And that's $16 right there. So, I mean, you have to be doing pretty good if you can get $16 for a single keystroke.
That's true. That's true. Also, as a note, at the last 2600 meeting, I had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman from ABC.
Uh-huh.
The show is called Turning Point.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know if I could call you after you get off the air and pass his number on to you.
Is that sounds like a soap opera. I guess it's something more than that, huh?
No. It's a news type of magazine that's just out.
Turning Point, huh?
And basically, the issue he's looking into is the privacy issue.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was speaking with him at great length, me and a couple of the other hackers that were there.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know if I could call you after we get off the air and pass along his number to you.
Well, actually, today's kind of a bad day to do that because I have to run out of the studio like immediately afterwards. Would it be possible to leave it on the machine over at 2600?
Sounds good.
Okay, you have the number there, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Oh, by the way, Emmanuel, it's Aura.
Aura?
Yeah.
All right.
I've met you a few times.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem, old man.
Okay. 279-3400 is our phone number. Area code 212. It's about 10:30. The program is off the hook. Good evening.
Hi, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Okay, pretty good. I had a phone number here that you dial from the house, and it tells you to deposit 25 cents.
Really? It's you found one of those recordings that... You want to share the number with the rest of us?
So it's 718-282...
Yeah.
9913.
282-9913.
Right. And also, I've been communicating with you through the internet about that, the busy signal thing.
Okay. You want to update us on that?
Yeah. Did you get to try it? I wrote you back a letter that it worked with 222.
Why don't you tell the folks what you're talking about?
Well, basically, you can dial some exchanges with the last digits being 9970, and
right,
it, 9 times out of 10 it'll be busy, but once in a while, if you just hang on that busy for a few minutes, you'll hear a click, and you'll actually get somebody, and they'll think that you're the person that they was trying to call.
But I
just wanted to know if you had tested it out with 222.
No, I haven't tested that out, but is that 212 area code?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I suggest people try it and see if they can hook themselves up. It'll be sort of like a party line, except they won't charge you $5 a minute.
Right. Well, basically. And I guess that's about it, Emmanuel.
Okay.
It's too bad you didn't have the voice enhancements for Richard's call.
Yeah, that would have been nice, wouldn't it? But I don't know if it's possible.
All right. Oh, yeah, can I get the number for that voice enhancement?
Yeah, hang on. Down here on the floor someplace. Yeah, and I want to thank people for sending these bits of information in, and the address to do that is Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Okay, and here is the number. It's 1-800-932-2000, and that's the demonstration of True Voice, or, as we like to say here at BAI, enhanced. Yeah.
Are you guys maybe going to publish that article I sent?
Which article was this?
Over the Internet. I sent you an article called Holes and Busies for 2600 Magazine.
Okay, yeah, that's probably in the editorial department. I can't swear whether we're going to use it or not, but it is being looked at.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Thanks for sending it in.
Take it easy.
Take care. All right. Anybody is welcome to send articles in to 2600 The Hacker Magazine, either by using our internet address, which is 2600@well.sf.ca.us, as in San Francisco, California, United States, or by writing to the editorial department at 2600 P.O. Box 99, Middle Island, New York, 11953. All right, let's see if we can confuse an operator. Wait, I think I should dial the number first. The sound of static.
New York telephone.
I think she sounds speeded up for some reason.
From a push-button telephone, press 11 for collect call.
I press 0.
Switch this call to another number. Enter the complete number now. For person-to-person and other calls, press 0 for the operator.
Here we go.
From a dial telephone. Please hold for operator assistance.
James, can I help you?
Yes, hi, operator. I'm having trouble reaching this number. I'm getting a strange recording.
One moment, I'll try it.
Thank you.
Yes,
that is
strange.
Yeah, it is.
And you're not on the coin phone, are you?
No, no, definitely not.
One moment, please.
Yeah.
Is it only to that number that you're getting this?
Yes.
Or are you having this trouble with your phone?
No, this is the only number it asks for money, apparently.
Yes, I can't explain that one, sir. Hold on, I'll connect it to the service operator.
Okay, thank you.
We have reached New York Telephone's automated repair service line. All of our service representatives are busy. If you are calling from a touch-tone phone, we can take your trouble. Please enter the area code and telephone number that needs to be repaired. If you are not calling from a touch-tone phone, please call our regular repair number again later. Or stand by and your call will be handled by the next available representative.
Isn't this nice? They can take our trouble. If they want our trouble. Well, you know, this is too much trouble, actually, because we know what's going to happen. We're going to wind up talking to somebody that's not going to understand anything about what we're talking about, and it's really not the repair department's problem anyway. It's just a recording. So, yeah, 718-282-9913 if you want to confuse somebody and make them think they have to put a quarter in their home phone. Fun at parties, you know. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you had a street address for Hacktick, because I'm going to be in Amsterdam next week.
Well, let's see. There's no street address. It's a P.O. box. But, you know, I can give you their phone number. Maybe you can arrange to meet up with them or something.
Right, they don't have an office or anything?
No, they don't have a storefront. It's run out of a flat in an apartment.
I see.
Yeah. But if you want their phone number, I can give that to you right now.
Okay.
All right, of course, Country Code 31, but you'll already be there. And if you're in Amsterdam, you won't need the city code, which is 20. And the phone number is 600-1480.
Okay, and also, how many phone lines do you have?
How many phone lines do I have personally?
Yeah.
Here, we have... We have 10 coming in here. Actually, only 7 of them ring, though.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. And, yeah, it's a good question, actually. If I was out there listening, I'd want to know how many phone lines we had, too. Good evening. You're on BAI. Off the hook.
Hello. You read the thing from ASP, the software organization, and apparently you're turning in yourself in when you ask questions because they have an 800 number.
Yeah.
And that 800 number also makes me wonder, why does the Dinkins campaign use an 800 number when it would be a local call? Well, I'm guessing it's just because they want to collect people's phone numbers.
Well, of course, caller ID also works. You know, they could use that as well.
Oh, that's right. The campaign headquarters does not have caller ID capability.
Well, the thing is, it's probably more involved to have... Actually, no, it's not involved to have ANI capability on the 800 number because it will show up on the phone bill.
That's right. They don't even need ANI because by the time they get the bill, they still have plenty of time to call up people.
Yeah, and you can't really block your number when you call an 800 number unless you go to the operator. So, yeah, you know, you might have something there. That might be a reason why they like 800 numbers. Sure, they have to pay for the call, but they get everybody's number.
Yeah, because otherwise, if someone really wants to support them, they should not mind spending their own dime to call up the campaign.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense. People from out of the city wouldn't be calling them up.
Well, that's true. It might not work from out of the city, too. I wasn't quite sure on that. What's the hotline for?
It's if you want to support Dinkins for his re-election. This is a campaign hotline.
I see.
I don't remember the number. It might be like something like 1-800-GO-DINKINS or...
GO-DINKINS.
Or GO-BY-DINKINS.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, we'll keep an eye on that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Okay, let's see if we can actually get something else out here. No, we can't even get... This is what it's like when the phone company turns off touch tone service. You hit a tone, but your dial tone doesn't go away. Sad, isn't it? But they can do that, you know? They have ultimate control over their software. Good evening, you're on BAI.
Hi, I like your show. Two quick questions. My buddy just moved into a small office space that's got some phone jacks installed there. And we're trying to find out what one of the numbers is assigned to one of those jacks. Is there a number we can dial that'll get the number spat back?
Yeah, where are you? What area?
It's in Manhattan.
Okay, just dial...
downtown Manhattan.
Dial 958.
958.
That should do it. If that doesn't work, try 511.
Okay. And my second question, I read a number of articles about emerging communication technologies, and everybody's talking about having to increase the bandwidth. What specifically is the bandwidth that we're moving at now, and what is it that we need to get things like interactive video?
Well, the bandwidth is a very general term. On the Internet, the bandwidth is the amount of data that's going from one point to another, and when you have more users on one end communicating with more users on another end, you know, that connection uses more bandwidth. There's more traffic. It's really just another word for traffic.
Oh, so in other words, the bandwidth doesn't necessarily mean the bits per second or
it's measured.
Thousands of bits per second that have to be moved in order to be able to move live video or things like that.
Yeah, it's measured in that. I don't know what interactive video or live video would take. It would take significantly more.
More than the copper wire that we're communicating on right now.
Well, it's, we're talking about fiber optics and you know, dedicated lines and all that kind of thing, and it's not really, your plain old telephone service really isn't meant for that kind of thing.
If you're in an area where they're not using fiber optics, but they're using standard, I guess, wires, copper wires, then when you speak with someone, that information is moving analogically, isn't it?
No, that's. You can still transmit digitally over, you know, any kind of a wire. It's a question of capability, though. It's a question of how much can you fit on that particular wire. Fiber optic, you can fit much more than just a, you know, a regular wire.
Okay, Emmanuel, I really enjoy your show.
Okay.
It's informative, and we need more programming of this nature. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bandwidth is a word you better get used to, because it's going to be used a lot more in the future, I can tell you that. Good evening, you're on.
Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Telephone bill, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what number am I coming in on? Oh, no, sorry.
Actually, you're on the very last line. You might want to know that.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay. You were talking about your idea for having a techno rave. I'm all for it. Can you get a warehouse?
Well, you know, we'd love to get a warehouse. This is for a hacker event in 1994, the 10th anniversary of 2600. Basically modeled after what just happened in Amsterdam, except instead of being on a campsite in some huge building someplace where we'd have enough room to set up a network, to have speakers and to have a party afterwards and all that kind of thing, and people could actually stay there. But the question remains, are there places in Manhattan that will allow for that kind of thing that are cheap enough?
Yeah, that's always a problem.
They were talking about a week-long event, you know, something like that, in the summer of 1994.
Yeah, that's enough ramp up and ramp down, I think.
Yeah.
About True Voice.
Yeah.
It is louder, but I tend to hear more bass. I don't know if you heard.
I heard a little more bass. I wasn't sure if that was my imagination or not. On a regular phone, you see, we're piping this through a board here. You call that on a regular phone, and I don't know, it just sounds louder. You don't really hear much more. If your phone isn't capable of producing those sounds, you know.
Yeah, if you've got one of the...
Yeah, one of these things here that we have right now.
Yeah. And finally, I wonder why nobody ever mentions Waffle when they're talking about Internet.
Well, you have, so why don't you go into it.
Oh, okay. Well, Waffle...
I hear it quite a bit, actually.
...limits bus package that lets you get your own net news and Internet-style mail over a UECP link, which most people think that you can't do on an MS-DOS box. And it is available for FTP on the Internet from most Simtel 20 mirror sites.
So it's freeware?
It's not. It's shareware. It's $30 and well worth every penny.
Great.
For example, it's on Oakland EDU in Pub MS-DOS Waffle.
It's just Oakland.edu?
It's oak.oakland.edu.
Okay.
The directory is /pub/MS-DOS/waffle, and the file people want is waf165.zip.
Okay, and that can be accessed using anonymous FTP. And what do you need, any kind of special setup to run that?
No, nothing more than you need to run a plain old bullet board, although you do have to find the site that will feed you.
All right. Okay, basically... Static is awful. There we go.
Package.
I'm sorry?
It's a cool little package.
Yeah. Well, basically it's dialing out, and it's getting the feed every now and then.
Right. It's got a cron built in, so you can build your own batch files to do maintenance. It'll accept calls in from whatever site is feeding you. It'll initiate calls. It's essentially the MS-DOS analog of a Unix box.
Uh-huh.
And it works very well.
And what version of DOS should you have?
I think 3.3 or better.
Well, that's not asking too much.
No, it really isn't.
Okay, well, that's something I think a lot of people will check into, and that's at oak.oakland.edu, FTP anonymously, and people can find it there.
Yes, and actually it's at any Simtel 20 site.
Okay.
Or a mirror site. All right, take care, Emmanuel.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yep, bye-bye.
Might just check that out myself, because it's always fun to play with these things and see if you can hook up to the net yourself. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Can you turn my radio down? How you doing?
Okay.
I had a couple comments earlier about 9X and all these people taking over.
Yeah.
I really feel that they should be allowed to, as far as I'm concerned. They should never have broken up the phone company. They should allow the other company to compete. Because our service has gone downhill since the breakups.
Uh-huh. Can you give me some examples of how it's gone downhill?
Yeah, with all the new telephones that you're allowed to connect to the phone lines, when you have a problem, you don't know who to talk to. If you make a call from here to California, you might be going through two or three different companies to get to that party. So who do you call when you have a problem?
Yeah, but do you remember how it was before when people were afraid to put extensions on their line? They thought the phone company would come and arrest them.
I've been around this business for a long time. Remember when you couldn't do anything? I think they should have modified the rules so that the phone company was told people are going to put things on their phone line that I can do this as long as they don't hurt the network. I mean, this whole business about part 60, part 96, part 68 is a problem. You know what? But really, we've gone downhill because right now, when you call an operator, they don't even know what you're talking about when you ask for help.
Well, yeah, I can certainly attest to that.
Another thing I found out, interesting thing, some of these pay phones, if they're not New York telephone, but private telephones, I don't know how they're doing this. So you call up your MCI number, and then you call up the service, and you start entering tones, they disconnect you. I don't know if they're doing that because of fraud or something else.
Well, I think what you're talking about is they disconnect the tones.
No, they don't disconnect the phone. They actually drop the phone line.
They drop the phone line? That's unusual. What some of those pay phones do is they disconnect the tone so that you can't use another phone company and enter your authorization code.
No, they want you to go through. Say I wanted to call my broker and check out, say, a stop code on a touch tone system. You call up MCI and enter your code. Everything goes fine. As soon as they answer, they disconnect the tones.
They disconnect the tones or they disconnect the line?
Sometimes they disconnect the line, sometimes they disconnect the tones. Now, what I don't understand is how do they know that? I don't think they're using line reversal like the phone company used to do. I don't know if MCI is telling them that you've been connected, if MCI is providing a data flag.
It could be something simple like just listening for a ring, and then when the ring stops, they assume the call has been answered at that point, or it could also be a timing mechanism.
Timing mechanism. Because as soon as they answer, and I try something else very clever, I call up MCI and give the number to the operator verbally, and the tone is still working because I've hit a tone. But as soon as the other party answers, they disconnect the tone. So I don't know how the phone knows that someone has answered even when you're going through MCI.
Well, the MCI has the same capabilities of AT&T now as far as call supervision and all that, but I you know.
No, they're passing that on to the local phone.
Yeah.
If there's line reversal at the local phone end. Now, most of the phones will only do this in the bad neighborhoods. Like in the hotels and the restaurants, they don't do it. I think they're trying to prevent fraud. Is that your opinion?
Well, how are they trying to prevent fraud? By preventing people from talking to each other? Yeah.
Oh, maybe they feel that people will get people's cards, account number to do things.
Uh-huh.
I've noticed that at the train stations that this happens, and I've noticed that different places that they don't block it, such as hotels and restaurants. But I've noticed in other areas they do block it. So I don't know who's determining which areas they're going to block.
Well, I mean, isn't the end result of this that the customer is inconvenienced?
Sure. When you want to get a quote, yeah, I think you are inconvenienced. It's really just me pissed off.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get through, and you can't get through. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about this.
It's not supposed to be like that. When you make a phone call, you're not supposed to be disconnected upon connection. That's rule number one.
As you're starting to press the tones,
right?
You press too many tones, they disconnect you.
Right.
So I think they're supervising the line looking for the tones. But getting back to the other thing, I think that breaking up the phone company was one of the biggest mistakes. I think they should allow competition, but allow the phone company to stay together. Because as technologies come about, I think that you'll find that phone companies will want to get more and more of the business, and you'll wind up basically back at ground zero, back to where you started from.
Well, not a whole lot has changed as far as the way the customer is treated, I'll give you that. You know, it's basically still people are being mistreated by phone companies. The phone companies are these huge entities that answer to virtually nobody.
That's true, but I'll tell you another thing. They promised us lower rates at the breakup, but we never got that.
No, of course not. But you get higher rates in some ways. You have the FCC surcharges. You have higher rates for local calls now.
Providers, more jobs for government employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what... By the way, you having a meeting this Friday?
Not this Friday. The first Friday of September.
Well, you're going to have it at City Corp?
Yeah.
I'll try to be there. I've been playing around with this stuff for about 22 years, 23 years.
Oh, it's a long time to be playing with this stuff. A lot has changed.
Oh, yes. Remember back when it used to be Cross 401?
Well, there was up until a few months ago, actually, around here.
I wonder if there are any rack ones, you know, panels.
I don't know, but, if you travel around the country, you'll find things like that still in various places.
Yeah, by the way, that thing with the enhanced voice?
Yeah.
That's just a lot of BS. They're probably just putting in some compression or something.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they're doing. I think we'll find out. When we do, we'll certainly let people know.
I would love to use that system. I mean, really, they give me a lot for my money.
It's absolutely free. Part of the, what was it again? The eye plan, yeah.
Well, I would MCI.
Okay.
Just out of protest, AT&T.
Yeah. Well, then you won't be getting this enhanced service. The rest of us will be playing with it, and you'll have to deal with the tin can effect, as they like to call it.
Well, actually, most of your new telephones will be produced down to the low frequencies. The older phones won't. Newer, you know, Sony's, the Radio Shacks.
Right.
They do tend to produce the lower frequencies. Okay, thanks, Manuel.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Good evening, you're on Off the Hook.
Hi, New York Tel made it hard to call in. This is like the fourth time I had to call in, but I got to give the boo of the week to our wonderful supplier, Radio Shack, who was just mentioned before. I went to the local Radio Shack, and I said, is your new 1994 catalog out? And the guy said, yes, that'll be $2.95. And I said, you got to be crazy.
Wow.
I spend a couple hundred dollars here every year. Now you're going to charge for the catalog? You know, how am I going to know what to buy if you don't give it to me, what the new catalog numbers are, so they can punch it up in that wonderful computer that they have?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just utterly absurd what they're doing, so I just wanted to give them the boo of the day. The boo of the week goes to AT&T for its going back into the local loop with buying out McCaw, and we'll see whether the FCC goes along with that. But I agree, service has gotten much worse since the breakup. The prices for residential calls compared to business calls and long-distance calls have gone up in terms of the percentage that they pay. The equipment is much more inferior now. You have all these scam services, 900 lines, alternative operator services, and so on and so forth. And I don't think that the average person has really gained anything. I think we've really lost by it.
You're probably right. Probably the average person hasn't gained much at all, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, before the breakup, there were all these ridiculous things. Everything was hardwired in. You know, and you said about getting an extra extension in was a big deal. But, you know, a lot of people still have those old Bell System phones. You need a bomb pretty much to blow them up. They last 20, 30 years. These phones now, if you get 5 or 10 years out of them, you're really lucky, including the AT&T phones, which are among the better of the phones today.
Actually, they're pretty lousy, those AT&T phones of today.
Yeah, compared to the old ones, but
right.
Compared to the other ones that are out on the market, they're like, they seem to be decent.
Yeah, it doesn't say much, unfortunately. But yeah, the old Western Electrics, they're the ones.
There are a lot of them left, and they had a real bell in them. They'd really ring. I have a couple of those still around here.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that's just my boo of the day to Radio Shack, getting back to them. I don't know, they can try and nickel and dime the customers and everything. And it's just utterly absurd. I just don't want to, if anyone is listening out there from the Tandy Corporation, you know, you really are making it difficult for our...
Well, it's already unpleasant enough going into a Radio Shack because you always get interrogated whenever you buy something as to your address and phone number and all this garbage, you know.
And if you buy something that's small, like a few dollars, they don't want to go through the whole hassle. They're also getting rid of one of the few wonderful things they had, the Battery of the Month Club. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
They're getting rid of that. I think they're letting the cards that you have run out, but they're getting rid of it because they say they don't want the battery to be the symbol of their company. But I said, you know, you get a battery that probably costs them about 2 cents because it's the cheap batteries that they give you.
Right.
And, you know, it gets you into the store, look around, maybe you remember you had a cable you have to pick up or, you know, some little piece you have to pick up, and you spend a few bucks. And then now there's a less incentive to go in there as well.
That's true. Well, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe something else will spring up that's better. Let's hope so.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Good night.
I mean, there should be more than just one place that sells electronic parts around. You know, it's a chain. Maybe more things will spring up. Good evening.
Hi. I'm amazed. It took me about 4 times getting hung up on to get...
Four seems to be the average, yeah.
Very frustrating since I am not in 212 and I don't have a touchtone phone.
Wow.
So, very quickly, I spoke to you before quite a while ago and complained about the barrage of calls I was getting from Newsday because I could not get them to stop, and my going around from the district attorney and the New York State Bar Association and around, and everyone said, oh, anyone can call you whatever they want as long as it's not obscene and they're not trying to be a collection agency.
No, that's untrue. You can tell a sales agency to stop calling you and they have to stop.
Well, I'm told that they said the Consumer Protection Agency, as of January 1st, has a new regulation. Do you have any specifics on that? Because they did not.
I don't know of a new regulation. I know of an old regulation that says if you say don't call me and someone persists in calling you, that constitutes harassment, whether it's a collection agency or
a sales... That's not according to the phone company. I immediately called their harassment line when this happened to me, and they said, I'm sorry, that's not harassment. There's nothing we can do.
Well, I would suggest calling a consumer agency instead.
I did. I mean, when I did this, I called about half a dozen to a dozen different agencies and eventually came full circle. In any case, a couple of other things. For caller ID, I'm on all call restrict, and of course you can toggle that back and forth, and you have no way of telling from your phone whether it's on or not. And I spoke to the phone company the other day, and I gathered that the only way they have of doing that is Monday through Friday during certain hours when there is someone at the phone and they have to manually call this up. Is there any other suggestion you have for checking whether or not your all call restrict is on?
There's only one way to know if the phone company has not messed it up, and that's to have a caller ID box to call it and see if your number shows up. I wish I could say there was another way to find out, but that is, I mean, I've been
958 works whatever you do.
Oh, it works no matter what. That's got nothing to do with it.
Right.
But, you know, I wish I could say it was, you know, you could trust New York Telephone to get it right, but you can't. I've been through so many hassles with them where they put it on the wrong line, they put blocking on this line and not on that line, and they've gotten it all botched.
Now, you had someone on a few months ago, and I wrote it down, but I don't have it with me. Someone who had a magazine and an 800 number, and you call up and you get a recording telling you what phone number you're calling from?
Yeah, that's been disconnected. So yeah. Apparently,
many
people are calling.
I might be able to use them.
If we get another number like that, of course, we'll pass it on.
Right.
But for now...
And just a couple of days ago, someone called me during the lightning storm, and we got someone else's phone. Conversation came on.
Really?
And he hung up, and I stayed on and listened for a while trying to figure out what was going on. They could not hear me at all.
Uh-huh.
And then that phone conversation got interrupted by someone else's conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I hung up the phone, and I couldn't get my dial tone back for about 5 minutes. Every time I picked up the phone, I was hearing someone else.
Those kind of things happen a lot. It's not necessarily related to thunder, but, you know, anything could trigger it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, at the moment I was trying out a local cordless phone, and I immediately ran and hung it up and picked up the wall phone, and that didn't seem to do anything at all.
You got on the wall phone and the cordless phone.
Yeah, it didn't seem to matter.
Uh-huh.
I was just locked out for about 5 minutes before I could get my own line back. And last question, any suggestions for voicemail-style digital answering machines, which I hear are coming into vogue, so you can have your own voicemail system but own it instead of renting it from the phone company and not owning your own messages?
Well, yeah, if you have a voicemail system, you'd need a computer, of course, as well as a phone line.
Right.
Is that the way you're willing to go, or?
Possibly.
Okay, well,
But someone had just told me that people chipping in on a wedding present for someone and said
right.
that there was an expensive digital answering machine that you could have multiple tracks of people leaving messages for different people.
Well, you could have it as complex as you want. We run the 2600 voice message system, and we made a voice bulletin board out of it because you can just keep making all these different routines that do various things. And that's from a company called Talking Technologies in California. It's called the Big Map system. But there are a lot of limitations on that particular system, and we're looking for something better. So we're in kind of the same boat. We don't really know. We haven't found anything that's suited for people.
As opposed to companies?
Yeah, but most of it seems to be geared towards companies, and they're too big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, too expensive as well.
Right. Well, all right, as you get the results of your search, announce it over the show.
I'm okay, here. Hopefully people will send in any information they find, too. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're out of time once again. This has been Off the Hook. We'll be back again next week from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock talking about the latest developments in telephones and computers and technological stupidity and all the other wonderful things that the 1990s are comprised of. Again, our address is Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. Thanks, everybody who called. Thanks, everybody who listened. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good week. See you again next Wednesday.
Tonight, Friday, August 3rd.